Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, before we get underway fully with our opening guest, over 200 people are without power in Hodgestown, Donaghadee. The fault was reported at 6:35 a.m. this morning, and the ESB says it's working to restore power as soon as possible. The current estimated restoration time is 10:15 this morning. Also in the area of roadworks and stuff like that, drainage works are taking place at Cromwellstown. Cromwellstown, never heard of that place. Works will take place from Thursday, tomorrow, until Friday, subject to weather conditions. I wish them luck in the rain. Working hours each day, 8 a.m. to 6, and traffic management will be in place in the form of priority give and take. Again, that's a new term. Priority give and take. Are we getting Americanized in this country? You know, what happened to the old stop-go? Like red and green and things like that. Priority give and take for the traffic. Now, as we've been mentioning during our newspaper review this morning, today is World International Anti-Trafficking Day, and the whole area of people being brought into this country, whether for legitimate reasons or otherwise, is to front and centre in many ways. For example, healthcare workers from private nursing homes travel from across Ireland or where to travel for a protest over long-term separation from their families that they're enduring while they provide essential care to the elderly and infirm in Ireland. Indeed, my own mam is one of those people who avails of this very, very valuable work with a couple of great, great carers, one or two of them who are indeed from abroad as well. Let's hear more about this, because former Solidarity TD Ruth Coppinger and Rossa member joins us now. Good morning, Ruth, and thanks for joining us on the programme again.
Good morning. Thanks.
Now, thank you for joining us. We'll talk about the human trafficking in just maybe at the end of this item. But around 1,000 non-EU workers, and these are mainly qualified nurses from countries like India and the Philippines, working in Ireland below their qualifications, have been recruited to work in this country as healthcare assistants under a general work permit scheme in June 2021. What's the issue?
The issue is that these workers came to Ireland. Many of them are women. Many of them are parents in general. And they're not getting to see their families at all, probably once a year, because of how they're classified. So they are on a general work permit, not a critical skills work permit. And the key problem is they're being paid less than HSE workers who are doing exactly the same thing.
How much less?
Well, they're at least 3,000 a year less. So they're working in the private sector nursing homes, and they're paid about 27,000 per annum. And you need at least 30,000 to bring your spouse to this country. You need to be earning 33,000 to bring a child to this country, and then it goes up and up.
And indeed, in the past, I've interviewed people on this programme who were sending the few bob that were earning in this country back home to a husband because couples were broken up and children were living in another country. And we all know the value of why a child needs to live with its both its parents, but particularly its mother. And before the men start all ringing in now, don't you know what I mean here? Okay.
Yeah. So there's male nurses involved in this too, obviously.
Yeah.
I was just highlighting the fact that many of them are mothers, you know.
Yeah, and Ruth, by the way,
healthcare workers are women.
Sorry for coming across you again. I thought we were short of nurses in this country.
We are, massively. We're short of teachers. We're short of nurses. We're short of healthcare assistants as well, which is why they came here. So I would ask people listening to think, we actually couldn't get people within Ireland to work in the private nursing homes on these salaries. That's why these workers were recruited in India, in the Philippines. Now, many of them are actually qualified nurses, so they're working here. They were willing to come here as healthcare assistants, obviously for a better life for their families. We know that. We know all about that in our history. But what they're asking for is that their spouses or families could come and work in this country too. And I would also add, most of their spouses are healthcare workers as well. So actually they could add to the labour that we need in the health system right now.
But you know, Ruth Coppinger, you know well that there are certain individuals out there, well, highly profiled on social media by their own right-wing publicity. Sure, Ireland is full. We don't need any more.
Yeah, but you see, Ireland isn't full at all. That's the problem. Like, I'm a teacher myself, and I'm sure you're aware, but it's all very related. There's a massive labour shortage in the care and education sectors. And the reason there's a labour shortage, we know, is people are emigrating, people can't afford to live here. The housing crisis, cost of living crisis is at the root of it. But if Ireland was full, there'd be workers in Ireland to do these jobs. So I'd ask anyone who thinks that, well, what are we saying? Send people home and leave the elderly in our nursing homes unattended.
And let me tell you, by the way, it's not just confined to the care industry. We're having the same problems right across the media sector, and with the number of companies that contact us here for our job slot and everything else, every sector of the economy is finding it difficult to recruit people. As you say, many of them are up sticks and out of the country and off they go, and we're relying on these workers to come in. And yet, we're not paying these workers what we'd have to pay if there were Irish people taking these jobs. And that's chronically unfair.
It's a bit like the pay parity issue that arose with the other workers that were on strike or about to take strike action this week. They want to be paid the same as HSE workers. Now, it's suiting our government to outsource so many services in this country historically. You know, be it outsourced to charities or the church or whatever. And, you know, they paid their workers less in those sectors than in the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing I'd say is, like, does anyone seriously think that these women and men want to be in this country, thousands of miles away from their families? I'm sure they prefer to be with them in their own country. But we have a world which is, you know, unequal, which is cruel, which is unjust, and people are travelling in order to make better lives.
So is your call and those of these people, is it finding any traction with the powers that be?
It is actually finding some traction, absolutely, yeah. It's Migrant Nurses Ireland, I just want to give them credit, by the way. I mean, I helped organise, but they did all of the work. So Migrant Nurses Ireland are Indian or Filipino nurses that are in Ireland. And obviously they were helping these people because they know many of them. So we organised a briefing in the Dáil where TDs and senators could come and hear the issues a few months ago. The Ceann Comhairle actually took an interest and invited the workers to a meeting. A review has been set up to look into this and submissions have been made. So the purpose of yesterday was, it's the first time ever, I think it's historic, that migrant health workers travelled and protested at the Dáil. And the purpose of it was to bring home that nothing yet has happened. You know, some of the women were crying there yesterday when they were being interviewed about seeing their children basically once a year, trying to communicate with them via WhatsApp at a different time zone, you know, and anyone who's ever tried to communicate with a child on a Zoom call knows it's just not very satisfactory.
Absolutely. And yes, as a nation that sent so many millions of our people abroad seeking just not fame and fortune, just seeking a fundamental standard of living, it's so ironic that now when the roles are reversed, we in this country tend to offer, offer many of these conditions that are not appropriate in terms of that, the irony of history. Before I let you go, Ruth, because I know you have a long record of advocating on behalf of women's rights generally, and all people's rights, male and female, that today is World International Human Trafficking Day. Over 1,200 human trafficking cases have come before the courts in recent times over the last 10 or 15 years ago, with the majority of these relating to the exploitation of women and children. But of course, as we know from prime time last night, and as we know, what the numbers that go under the radar are really substantial as well.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't see the programme, and I also know that the bill making its way through the Dáil that, that deals with trafficking too, and hopefully that will bring some improvements. But I suppose at the root of this is the exploitation of women, children, in particular, for in the sex industry, in pornography, and because of poverty and injustice and capitalism and the way this world is organised, and it's just horrendous to think that there's so many thousands of people unwittingly being brought into these situations, and we have to fight against that.
Absolutely. Well, over 1,200 cases, as I say, over the last 13 years. The Court Services report shows, and these are new figures, that a total of 1,223 human trafficking-related offences have come before the court since 2010, with 207 individuals facing cases. But on World International Human Trafficking or Anti-Human Trafficking Day, it's well to focus on the, whether it be the prime time programme last night or those hundreds and hundreds of women who are trafficked. As I said, this word of trafficking, it's a euphemism really for slavery, because that's what it is, and the total exploitation of women. And we'll be following up on this on our afternoon programme focused between 2 and 3 in regards to that with Ruhama, who actually advocate and support many of the women in these cases. But meanwhile, advocating the case of those migrant workers who are highly skilled, in many cases, male and female, coming into this country, who are working at below wage levels that would be afforded to Irish people. Former Solidarity TD and Rosset member, Ruth Coppinger. Thanks again, Ruth, for joining
us. Thanks a million.
Good morning to you. After the break, we're going local to Athy.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Welcome back then. Now, I mentioned earlier about Cromwell's Town. Hannah, if you're listening to me outside, I don't see that Aoife's up online just yet. You might just have a look at that, please, for me. She's certainly not on. Oh, maybe she is on 240. Am I? No, I'm not seeing it at the minute. So I'll see what I can do in regards to that in a few minutes. You might put it up if you can, and I'll see. Why am I only seeing half the phone? Bear with me for a minute now while I tell you about Cromwell's Town, by the way, which is, according to our noted local historian Liam Kenny, who says Cromwell's Town is located high in the hills of East Kildare near Kilteel. The name is not connected to the notorious Oliver Cromwell and derives from a settler of a similar name of a much earlier date. And good to hear you back. Thanks, Liam, for that. I had never heard of Cromwell's Town, but there's lots of unusual names around County Kildare. You know, we have a Mayo and we have a Jerusalem, believe it or not, and other places as well. Let's see, can I see... oh, there she is. Right, good stuff. I've reopened that now. Aoife,
I've been waiting on you, Clem.
I know you have.
Two days in a row.
Labour Councillor Aoife Breslin, thanks for joining us. Aoife, what news have you about the junction at Castledermot, the possible upgrading of that?
Yeah, look, can I just start off, and I suppose, look, there's been great news in Athy over the last 24 hours. V Road, as you know, is due to open now on the 31st of October, which is fantastic news. 9 months early, so that's down to the brilliant work of BAM, the contractor, and Kildare County Council staff on the ground. So I'd like to congratulate everybody who's been involved in this project. And I would like to say, you know, when the social fabric, which you're very interested in Athy, is being written, the people like Jack Wall, Sean Canan, and people like that will be remembered for the trojan work that they did in bringing this project forward. I think the road was on the books before you even came to Athy, and how long you're in Athy now, but it's going to be the making of Athy, and the road is opening. So look, well done to all involved. It's brilliant news, but it's just not the present day councillors that have delivered this. It's going back through generations, and that should be acknowledged for everybody in their hard work, and particularly my great mentor, Jack Wall.
All right, indeed. Okay, getting the word in there for Superman himself. Good Castledermot man, actually.
Absolutely.
Even though he's been residing in Castle Mitchell for many, many moons.
Well, and you're a Clare man, but you're residing in Athy for many, many years.
No,
we have adopted you.
Don't be letting out secrets now. You know, you never know know, you might give away my age and stuff like that. Aoife, the new road, the wonderful new ring road, which has been talked about for 100 years. Any idea when that's... It looks like it's nearly ready to open.
31st of October.
Ah, really?
That's what I was saying, Clem. Yeah, it has been delivered much earlier than thought.
Yeah.
The date was June. But again, it's down to the work of the contractor and down to our local engineers on the ground who have done absolutely Trojan work on it. So look, there's a walk or a sponsorship by Kildare Sports Partnership, I think, on the 30th, so people can get a look at it now. But look, you know, every night there's people walking on it, having a look at it.
I went off for a run on it at the weekend. And
you didn't call for me.
I know. I have to say, it absolutely looks fantastic.
Isn't
and
it fantastic?
Some job has been done.
You know, and it will allow its height to open up and develop, you know, the Duke Street, the Leinster Street. It'll give us jobs that we can do on that. We can make them safe and better for people, and people will be able to come in and out of town.
Yeah, it's, I have to say, I have to commend the contractors. The speed at which it's been done and the quality of the work is absolutely superb. It's a massive, multi-million
massive
job.
Achievement by them.
Alright, now well done everyone associated with that, at local authorities, National Roads and the contractors and all those men on the ground that we've seen every morning for the last year or so. St Dominic's Park in Athy, you want final works carried out at the back of that in the lanes there?
Absolutely, and look, I've received good news from the engineer that the final surface dressing on both laneways will be done before the end of the end of October. So October is going to be a good month.
All right, and Kildangan, you have a query in on that as well.
Yeah, there was work done out there. It's an old bog road, as we would say, and it's heavy traffic. You know, people going to and from the bog. There is work there that has been done, but there's a huge noise level coming off it. It's only remedial work, so I've asked that the council go back, finish off the work over the bridge. It's a small bridge, a bog bridge as we would call it, and I'm hopeful that I will get a report back from one of the engineers before the end of the week in relation to when that work will come
Okay, on that very happy note then, Labour Councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Aoife Breslin, thanks for joining us this morning,
Aoife. Thank you, Clem, for having me 2 days in a row.
You're more than welcome, sure, it's a treat. Okay,
well,
right, was I going to take a break there or whatever? No, I'm going to move on because that's Aoife Breslin. Let's see now. My phone thing is a bit slow on the coming up this morning, but I think I have. And say good morning to John Lowe, the man known as the Money Doctor.ie. John, how are you? And welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and good morning to you and your listeners.
And thank you indeed for joining us. Tips on how to... And John, you're very popular books and articles and everything on the whole area of how we can all hang on to our few bob. And at the time of year we're in, with Christmas beginning to rear its head commercially, tips on how to save your money on the grocery bill. I saw a report from Kantar recently, John.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking at an article that you did on it, and you opened by saying, have you ever heard the first rule of grocery shopping? Well, what's that, John?
From memory, you know, make sure you've eaten before you go shopping.
Exactly. Don't shop while you're hungry. And you say there's a reason for it, because it's the number one piece of advice. It saves you money. Now, you have more tips, starting with the basics.
Well, you know, the thing about that, I mean, there was a cost of living kind of comparison between the supermarkets. Now, you could drive yourself demented, Clem. You can get, own brand Tesco milk at, 5 cents cheaper than you can get it in, say, Dunnes Stores. And then the bread is cheaper in Dunnes Stores. So what are you going to do? You hop between the two shops and, you'll go to one shop, I did find that, for instance, in comparisons, that the own brand, which is as good as the real brand stuff, is certainly a lot more economical and certainly cheaper and also as good value. Better
Can
value.
I give you an example, John Lowe? I was doing my shopping at the weekend and I was looking for some mustard and I went to the mustard shelf, as we'll call it, in the supermarket I was in. $2.29 for the brand mustard, 65 cents for the in-house brand. And I can tell you, having tasted the in-house brand, there's very little, if any, difference that I can detect in the taste.
Yeah.
You know, 2.29 on one, it's huge. 65 cents.
You multiply that by another 40 items, and now you're seriously saving money. But it's not just that, you know. There's a number. I did an article called 20 Ways to Beat the Shopping Blues, and again, I'd be happy to share that with you. I'll send it to you by email, and you can then, whether it's on your website or whether you share it with the listeners. But things like, you know, shopping with a pre-written grocery list, that's really important. Make sure, you know, check to see what you need before you come out. You know, your pantry, your fridge, you know, sometimes people buy stuff they've already got. And create a daily list for updating, because again, you run out of something and you forget about it. If you have a daily list, then it's on that list. Things like that.
And I know, John, as well, that cooking in bulk, you know, where you can put stuff in the fridge and you can take it out each evening, save yourself the work. But you also have a tip, and I love this, it's called Don't Be Precious. And I remember when Lidl and Aldi first came to this country, there was a kind of a sort of a snob attitude. Oh, God.
There still is.
Those are the stores for the poor.
Yeah. There still is. And
I thought that was
completely
gone.
Completely unfounded. They're as good value as any other supermarket. And it's better in your pocket. I keep saying this. It's all about making sure that value. I mean, now today we're talking, whether it's, you know, going to switch a provider, for instance, for your energy, and there are, you know, the regulator has appointed three switches, for instance, I think bonkers.ie, switcher.ie, and paytoswitch.ie or powertoswitch.ie. And, you know, they do all the work for you. They do the number crunching and find out which energy provider is going to be best for your particular needs. And it's a free service.
Indeed. And I used to be agog at the idea of where people were looking down their nose at those that shopped in the German multiples. But the German multiples have become very sophisticated in increasing their share in the market. So the old motto of shop around, and indeed we can shop online as well. And John, just one final point. What's this whole thing about when you go to a supermarket and have you got your club card, or have you got your loyalty card, or have you got this card?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, there's a number of apps that you can have on your phone. I never bring any of those cards with me, because I have an app called, for instance, the Stow Card, which is free, and you can put all your discount cards on that one app. You always have your phone with you, and therefore it's important. Like, you know, Dun Stores, for instance, have their own card.
But is it worth having these cards where they say to you, you know, we'll put on some points for you when you shop here?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Every cent counts, Clem. So you're talking about, you know, in particular, you know, where you have, like, I'm not touting now Dunn's, but they have these vouchers, you know, like you'd have kind of 10 euros off a 50 euro shop. That's, you know, 20%.
Right.
That's 20% off your shopping. You've also then got, for the points themselves, you get actual cash back into your kind of app, which you can use then to offset against the cost of your groceries. So they're all doing it. Super Value have a great one. You know, Tesco also have one. So they all have, even my local health store, where I buy all these vitamin stuff, I use that and I get the health, you know, discounts as well.
All right. Okay, John, very good advice. If you want to find out more, by the way, on Money Wisdom, it's not just in terms of shopping, but across the whole range of money matters, which includes tax and personal and everything, moneydoctor.ie, because John Lowe is the money doctor. And John, if you'd send us those, we'd appreciate those tips.
Just on one final note, my 19th edition of the book comes out on the 15th of December, and again, it's a big volume, but there's one little extra addendum in it, and it's called 100 Ways to Save Cash.
Well, John, I have the last two editions and I read them avidly, and I will look forward to that. Money
great.
Matters from the moneydoctor.ie, John Lowe. Great talking to you, John.
Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
And good morning to you. That's John Lowe, as we say. Now, just to catch up on a couple of messages. And one listener says, good morning, Clem. I'm sitting here like a child at Christmas to see if I won one of the books, says Anne. I'm going to announce the five winners of the book after the obituaries, before we begin the second hour of the programme. Okay? So be happy on that. Regarding roadworks, and they drive you daft sometimes, the way a listener says, I'm just wondering if you can shed any light on the ridiculous roadworks on Standhouse Road. We live in Pierstown. We left our house at 25 to 9 and didn't arrive at school till 9:20. Jesus, 40 minutes. Loads of children late. Any nice day we walk, but this morning it's wet and miserable out there. I share your pain, listener, because we've had that in Athy for the last 2 years with that new wonderful ring road that we hope will finally unmake Athy as one of the country's worst traffic jams. That's the way that happens. Keep your messages coming, lads.